I also want to thank the sponsors, the whole chevra, for making the arrangements. It seems like we were here a week ago. In between has been Rosh Hashanah. Before I begin, I want to be mechazik d'olam. There's a wonderful, wonderful organization that I spoke to. I know Leah Hellman Breiberg, I know for many, many years. This organization called Lahav, that there are hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of couples in Eretz Yisrael that are not from, but Jewish couples who agree with a lot of gentle and sweet persuasion to learn the halachas of Taras Mishpach, and many, many, many families have been changed. Their lives have been completely transformed by this. So Leah asked if it was possible on the way out, if you could stop and take a look, if you could help. It's a very, very chashuv thing. We're trying to, before Mashiach comes, to finish up these inyanim as soon as possible. This was my parents. And choshev choshev yidin, achai v'rei'ai. After so many hours of davening and tefillahs and in the kitchen and the dining room, atzmeim l'dvar Hashem, come out Motzei Shabbos, semisoyrus, and I daven Hashem Yisborach that what I'm going to say should be Dvar HaMisyashvim Ahalev. Will be able to help us a little bit during these days of Aseres Metshuva and to come with a certain frame of mind into Yom Kippur. It's the whole tachlis. It's not a shir, it's not a lecture, it's not a sermon. It's talking among chaverim. I decided that we're going to take a trip back to the beginning of Yom Kippur. To Yom Kippur comes from. To where Yom Kippur comes from. We'll take a trip back. We'll try to understand what Hashem Yisbarach is saying to us now, Tavshin Ayin Beis. The message hasn't changed. We've changed, but the message hasn't. But we need to understand it with the Kalim of Tavshin Ayin Beis. We're all Tavshin Ayin Beis. We need to understand it with the Kalim of Tavshin Ayin Beis. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Everybody knows the Mishnah, the Gemara Tanis. L'hayyam tayvim liyisrael ketubav uchiyom ha-kippurim. There were never ever such yom tayvim that we received like the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. The Gemara asks the obvious question. Everybody knows that Yom Kippur is a big yontiv because it's a day of slicha mechila, of forgiveness. That we all know. And yom she nitnu by luchas ha'achrayness, and it's the day that Hashem Yisbarach gave us the second set of Luchais, second tablets, that we received as Balei Tshuva. Elo Chamisha Sabav Maihi. But what's the 15th of Av? Maihi. Namar B'yechran, Yom Shekolabai, Meisei Hamidbar, Meisei Midbar. Then the Gemara goes on, the different things that happened over time, on the 15th of Av. What Chazal are doing is that they're revealing to us that there's a very deep connection between these 2 days, between Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av and the 15th of Av, that these two trees grow out from one root. Now we know that Yom Kippur was given to us as a day to contend with the damage that was caused by the Chet Ha'Egel, by the sin of the calf, to completion of a period of time to try to unravel our issues and to turn back to Hashem is Baruch from that sin of the Egel Azov, of the golden calf. It's a siluk of the pagam of the Cheta Egel. It's the removal, our effort to remove the stain that was left by that mistake that we made by the Cheta Egel. Tu B'Av, on the other hand, Tu B'Av is the siluk of the pagam of the Chet HaMeraglim. It's our effort to contend with what went wrong with the spies, with the Meraglim. It's when we got up from the Shiva of Tisha B'Av. It's our longing to overcome what went wrong with the Meraglim of the spies. We see that these two worlds of Yom Kippur of Tu B'Av, of the Egel and the Meraglim, are bound together in our tefillos. We enter into the Kedusha of Yom Kippur. Mitzvah Shem, this coming Leil Shabbos, this coming Friday afternoon, evening. V'kol nidre v'yoyma Hashem salachti kivarecha. V'yoyma Hashem salachti kivarecha. Which you know that the Kuzhin Samagit Slusing on has said that Rabbi Shalom, there's so many things you told us. So many things. There's only one thing that he's asking for is Salach Dikidvarech. That's all. Slicha. That Salach Dikidvarecha, those words, Salach Dikidvarecha, Hashem, Salach Dikidvarecha, that Hashem Zbach tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Salach Dikidvarecha, those words, of course, were spoken after the Chet HaMeraglim, after the sin of the Meraglim, of the spies. And yet, of course, in our tefillos, we make a shidduch between that bakasha, that request of Salachti Kivarecha, Hashem's promise of Salachti Kivarecha, with the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, which of course the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, the 30 Midas HaRachamim, which we say all during Slichas, and Yom Kippur night, and Ne'ilah, which the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim came as a result of the Chet HaEgel, not the Chet HaMeraglim. As a matter of fact, the Rosh, in his Perish on the Torah, explains that when Hashem Yisbarach said to Moshe Rabbeinu, after the chait of the Meraglim, of the spies, when Hashem Yisbarach said to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'salachti kidvarecha, the Rosh explains that kidvarecha means that I'm going to forgive you as I had forgiven you back then by the eagle, by the golden calf. Kidvarecha, V'salachti kidvarecha. I was forgiving by the chait, by the earlier sin of the golden calf. And now that there's been some sort of a repetition of that mistake, which we'll see, V'salachti kidvarecha, I forgive you now the way that I had forgiven you back then, by the Chet HaEgel. So it seems to us, just by hearing these words of Chazal, and by looking carefully at our Nusach of Davening, it seems that somehow by the chait, by the sin of the Meraglim, of the spies, that whatever went wrong earlier by the chait ha'egel was choyze v'neir, that somehow there was a reawakening. There was something that was dormant for some time, and that it came back in the form of the Chet HaMeraglim. The Chet HaMeraglim although the story consists of different scenery and different characters, but we know that regarding these two averes, regarding the Chayta Egel, for which we have Yom Kippur, the suffering and the difficulties continue on through the years. And that somehow over time, in installments, we're able to achieve the Mechila, the Slich, and the Kapara for Chayta Egel. Similarly, when it comes to the Chayta Meraglim, which everybody knows that was the first of many Tisha B'Avs. And Chazal say, Atem b'chisem b'chiyah shel chinam, that you cried a b'chiyah shel chinam, whatever that means, but you were crying unnecessarily. When you heard the report of the spies, Atem b'chisem b'chiyah shel chinam, v'ani kaver lechem b'chila doros. I'm going to establish this day of Tisha B'Av is a time of crying through the centuries, through the years. So whether we like it or not, there's a shidduch between the Chayta Egel and the Chayta Hameraglim. And what Chazal are telling us is that over the years we haven't been able to overcome whatever the poison is, which we'll talk about tonight. Whatever that poison, whatever that pgam is, that binds these two days, these two times together, these two averes together. It's a lingering problem that we have. And we have to know that before Yontif. So let's try to understand on our level. The Chayta Meraglim is itself so strange. It's mamash adova vehipulchai, it seems to be two opposites. Nitzad Echad, on the one hand, we said it's an Eretz Eicheles Yoshveh. An Eretz Eicheles Yoshveh, and it says in Tillim V'yamasu V'eretz Chemda, we didn't want it. We didn't want Eretz Yisrael. V'yamasu V'eretz Chemda is a very strong lashon. We rejected, we were disgusted with the whole inyan of going to Eretz Yisrael. V'yamasu V'eretz Chemda. So on the one hand we said, we don't want it, we're not interested in it, it's not good, there's no need for it. Umi'idach, and on the other hand, Efes ki oz ha'am ha'yayishev ba'aretz, v'ya'orim b'tzurayis g'daylas ma'ayid. On the other hand, we were saying that the land itself is a wondrous place. Eretz Yisrael is a gewaldige place. It's a wondrous place. And halavai, we would be able to be in Eretz Yisrael. But lamaise, it's not going to happen because it's inconquerable. It's just beyond us. We can't have it. So on the one hand, vayimasu b'eretz chemda. There's no need for it. On the other hand, if only we would be zeicha. But what's the point? It's a place that we can't possibly have. From here we can understand the shayrish, the root, but listen carefully, it's not going to be so poshut. We can understand the root of both of these chatoim, of the chait ha'egel, of the chait ha'meraglim, and of every single chait, of anything that you and I are doing in our lives that we shouldn't be doing. Every single al chait comes back to this issue. As I said, it's lingering, and we haven't yet resolved. It says at the beginning of Dvar, Vateirognu ba'ohaleichem. Hashem kivyochel was listening in to the murmurings of the Jewish people in their tents. Hashem Yisbarach listens in. And Hashem Yisbarach reports through Moshe Rabbeinu, Vateirognu ba'ohaleichem, vatoimu b'sinnas Hashem oisonu, ha'itzionu mi'eres Mitzrayim. The words are pachad. Hashem Yisbarach says, I heard what you're saying. I know what's going on. Vateirognu ba'ohaleichem, I heard the murmurings amongst you in your tents. And of course, that doesn't only mean among people in their tents, it means within people themselves. And what is the Vateirognu ba'ohaleichem? Vataimu b'sinnas Hashem ha'isonu ha'isyonu me'eretz Mitzrayim v'chul. What you're saying is that because God hates us, that because God despises us, that's why He took us out of Mitzrayim. Now you know if a person believes that he's despised, that he's hated. If you believe that somebody mamish hates you, chalila, then you can't possibly accept in your mind and in your heart that person who you're convinced despises you, you can't believe that he would want something good for you. You can't believe that he's offering you something that's really in your best interest, that's really good for you. You can't accept it. The guy hates you. Why would he make me such an offer? Why would he make me such a deal? Why is he coming to me? I know that he hates me. So if he's proposing something to me, it must be that it's not good for me. So it's not possible that he would be giving something that would be of benefit to me. And if be'emes, let's say it's something which could be good, if it's something which sounds like it could be good, the only reason that the one who hates me, the one who despises me, is making this proposal or this offer is because he knows, 100%, that I cannot get this. That it's beyond my reach, I can't possibly have it. So he's mocking me. It's not a sincere offer. He's mocking me, he's making fun of me. So can you imagine we were saying, B'sinnas Hashem Oisonu. We reached the conclusion that Hashem Yisbarach, the same Rabbeinu Shalom who took us out of Mitzrayim, the same Rabbeinu Shalom who did for us all the Makkos and all the Nisan Kriyas Yam Suf, the same Rabbeinu Shalom who gave us the Torah, that he took us our confidence in the Sharon, that he was holding us and hugging us. But Vateirognu ba'ohaleichem, he came to the conclusion, absolutely clear, that b'sinas Hashem oisonu ha'itzionu me'eretz Mitzrayim. But you know why he took us out? Because he hates us. So now he's coming with this inyan of Eretz Yisrael, mimanoshach. Either it's not good for us, either it's not good for us, it's a place that we want to avoid. If someone who hates me is making this offer, it must be that it's not good for me. Or maybe it is a good place. Maybe there is something special about this place, or Mitzrayim. Maybe it is a special place. But it's going to destroy us. It's going to devour us. We can't possibly conquer it. It's not ours. We can't get to it. Perhaps there are some miles. There's nice fruit that grows over there, and there are other milas, and gashmis, and ruchnias. But if my enemy is offering it to me, if my enemy is inviting me, you understand? Either way, either it's not good for me, or if somehow it is good for me, it's beyond my reach. The question is, how did we come to such a conclusion? After all that the Rebbeinu Shalom did for us and does for us, how did we and how do we come to such a conclusion of B'sinnas Hashem Eisonu, that he hates us? To the point that they pashut couldn't believe that the whole Indian of Eretz Yisrael was l'tovaseinu, was for our good. And remember, we're talking about Kulam Anoshim, Roshav, Bnei Yisrael, Hema. And Chazal say these were tzaddikim, chachamim, these are great people. These are brilliant and righteous people. And the shayrish of the chait of the Meraglim was, Hashem has Baruch revealed this, Vatirog Nibir Aleichem. Whatever it says in the newspaper, I'm telling you, Hashem says, the shayrish of the chait is a feeling of besinnes Hashem Oysan. That I hate them. That means that Ba'oimek Libam, regardless of what excuses they were giving, whatever stories they were making up, they felt that they were simply people who God couldn't possibly love, who the Baruch Shalom could not possibly care for, and therefore, whatever this Eretz Chemda thing is, this Eretz Yisrael place is, either it's a horrible trap, or it might be some magnificent paradise, but we're never going to make it there. So why were they so sure? Now, whenever we're talking about these things, so of course we're talking about ourselves as well. That's the whole tachlis of what we're learning. Why were they so sure of that? And why do we feel that way so often? You have that in relationships as well. You have that in many relationships. Parents and children, I've seen many, many times. Parents who simply adore their children beyond belief. They adore their children. They love their children. And the children, v'teirogna bo'aleichem, the children are convinced that besinas, my parents, oisanu, besinas hoirai, oisi, that because they hate me, or my father, my mother, or both, that because they hate me, that's why they're suggesting this or telling me that. So how did Bnei Yisrael reach this maskan? How did we reach such a conclusion that besinas Hashem oisanu? It says four words in this Sforno. Four words over there in this Sforno. And this Sforno rips open our hearts and our minds if we're honest enough to face this. The Sforno says, Besinus Hashem Aisonu, Al She'avadnu Avadazar B'Mitzrayim. You're expecting something very dramatic. Sforno says four words. Al she'avadnu, well, Avodah Zarah, you count these two words. Al she'avadnu Avodah Zarah b'Mitzrayim. So Sforno is telling us that the yesod, the shayrish, the root of that feeling of besinas Hashem oisanu was a feeling of self-loathing and disgust. A feeling of guilt that was so powerful, that was so strong, so there was no other conclusion that we could possibly reach. That people like ourselves, Shavadnu Avadazar B'Mitzrayim, that people like ourselves, it's simply impossible that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should love such people. And the Chatosi Negdi Samed, like the Tanya talks about, that paralyzing presence of sin in the mind of a person who has sinned, but the paralyzing presence and place that it has in his life, to the point that it takes away from a person an entire sense of self-confidence, of self-worth, where the person can no longer say the words in the Siddur, Ahavas Olam Ahavtonu Hashem Elokeinu. Ahavas Olam Ahavtonu Hashem Elokeinu.
that Hashem is Baruch loves each and every Jew. Havas Oylam Haftonu Hashem Elokeinu. And the reason that we can't say those words, or we say them but we don't mean them, or we think that we mean them but they're not changing our lives, is because avadnu avodah zarah b'mitzrayim. And the v'tirognu b'ohel lechem, the murmuring in the tents, if we would paraphrase it nowadays, it was a murmuring of, I am simply not a person who could possibly be deserving or worthy of his love, because he knows, and I know, all that I've done wrong in my life. This hergish, this feeling, which we hide from all the time. Kids with parents, all the time. Spouses, husbands, wives, husbands and wives, all the time. This hergish is the shayrish, is the root of man's distance from God. This lies at the very root of the richuk, of the merchak, of that abyss that settles into our lives and keeps us from being close to Hashem Yisbarach, and keeps us from doing tshuva. You know, there's a famous svasamis. It's brought down from different tzaddikim. Svasamis is talking about the Chet Meraglim. And it says about the Chet Meraglim, the Meraglim, remember, great people, they say, and we were in our eyes like grasshoppers. And so we were in the eyes of the people of Canaan, of our enemies. So the Medrash says, Mela, that you think of yourself as a grasshopper, you think of yourself as a worm, as a nothing. Mela. But the Medrash asks me, Higilahem, what poll did you conduct in Canaan? That was before the United Nations. It was before that we had any one single body that was representing anti-Semitism, the hatred for the Jews. Where you don't have to go canvassing the entire world. You just have to listen to the latest thing that's going on in the United Nations. But how did B'nai Yisrael know such a thing? To say such a thing, v'chein hayinu b'neihem, so the Medrash says, mihigid lehem. Who told them what the goyim think? Mihigid lehem. Shema hayu atzlam k'malachim. How do they know that we were like grasshoppers? How do we know that we were worthless in the eyes of the Canaanim, of the locals? Maybe we were like angels in their eyes. Maybe they looked up to us. A great and holy nation, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the Svasemes explains that when a person hates himself, when a person sees himself as being worthless, so you imagine that everybody looks at you the same way. You imagine that everybody sees you and knows the truth that you know and that you're convinced of. Even God, even Hashem, you're convinced. You see the ugliness in yourself. You see the darkness in yourself. You hate yourself. And because of that, you're convinced that God hates you as well. That's what B'nai Yisrael were able to say. Just a pshat in the words. V'nihi b'einenu k'chagovim. That in our eyes, we're worthless. Chagovim. Cockroaches. In our own eyes. V'chein hayinu b'einayim. It must be that that's how they look at us also. This is the Chet HaMeraglim. This was the sin of the spies. The sin is Hashem HaYisrael. go to the Chet HaEg, let's go back in time. Remember, these are two sides of one coin. Two trees from one shoresh. All aveiros, all chatoim. So let's go back to the Chet HaEg. So listen to what we said about the Chet HaEg. Asei lanu Elohim, asher yelchu lefaneinu. We wanted to have a God that would lead us. Asei lanu Elohim, asher yelchu lefaneinu. So we came and we demanded that. Why? Ki ze Moshe ish leyadanu mehoyolai. Ki ze Moshe ha'ish. Because this person, Moshe, we don't know what happened to him. The Sfar Makadoshim teach us. It's in the writings of the Kohen from Lublin, the Mechel Zlotshev and other tzaddik. The Sfarim teach us that when Bnei Yisrael asked for such a thing, to have a God who would lead us, it came from a hergish of what? Of my enosh kisiz kirenu. Pay attention to the pasuk. Listen to the words of the pasuk. Kizem Moshe ha'ish lo yadanu mehayala. What word Rabbi says extra in the pasuk? Ha'ish. Kizem Moshe. It's enough to say, Kizem Moshe le'edanu mehayalai. What's Kizem Moshe ha'ish? That person, that human being, Moshe. Lo yadanu mehayalai. We don't know what happened to him. Asei lanu Elohim asher yelchu lefaneinu, so the Sfarim tell us. That desire to have only a God who would lead us came from a complete loss of faith in man. Came from a complete loss of faith in man's potential to be godly. In man's containing within him a shtik elokus, a chelik elokom nima. Therefore, asei lanu Elohim asher yelchu lefaneinu. It wasn't a matter, a question of having a different leader. An Aaron, a Chur. It wasn't the question of a different leader, somebody who's more punctual. That wasn't the point. It reached into the very root of creation, as we'll see in a minute. Ki zeh Moshe ha'ish lo yadanu mehayaloi. It was a question, it was a loss of belief in the entire stature of mankind, in the whole min ha'enoshi, in the whole metzias of mankind, ha'ish Moshe, lo yadanu mehayaloi. It was complete and total yeyush in what a human being can become. And therefore the only etzah is, asei lanu Elohim. That's why Tzadik writes in Sikhs HaTzadik, it's a famous line in Kuf Nun Dalet. That there's such a thing as a person who believes in God, but he doesn't believe in man. He doesn't believe in himself. He doesn't believe in his ability to be godly. He doesn't believe in his ability to be a human being who's worthy in God's eyes. The request or the demand of Asei Lanu Elohim would resonate through history and would eventually find a home in the poison of Nazrus and the poison of the religion of Isaiah of Christianity that has brought death and devastation upon this world, that has taken away from man all confidence and all hope for saving himself. Because at the root of that religion, at the root of that of Avodah Zarah, is the expectation or the hope of Aseilonu Elohim. A human being cannot save himself. A human being cannot make himself into something that's great. So there would come a religion that would discover a new idea, a new way to rescue man from his misery, from his filth. And that idea was to transform a human being into God. And to create a Godhead. One wasn't enough, of course, it's a whole happy family. But to create an Elohim, a God, out of man. Aseilonu Elohim, asher yelchu lefaneinu. And why does that go back, Taka, to the original sin? That's why they're so obsessed with the original sin. Because if you go back to the shurish of all chatoim, the root of man's downfall, the beginning of chait, the beginning of man's turning away from Ratzon Hashem, was the pitui of the nachash, of the snake, the seduction of the snake in Gan Eden. And what was the pitui of the nachash? The pitui of the nachash was an offer. V'hiyisem what? Ke'elokim. V'hiyisem ke'elokim. A human being, a ben adam, that's what God was offering. That's not going to do it for me, to be a ben adam, to be a human being. So what did the snake offer? What was the pitui hanachash? The pitui of the nachash was ve'isim ke'elokim. Ki zeh ha'ish, it will take out Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the same formulation. You don't have to say ki zeh Moshe ha'ish, lo yadanu me'ha'yoloi. Ki zeh ha'ish, lo shaveh. It's not worth anything. Aseilonu Elohim asher yelchu lefaneinu. The snake in Gan Eden said, "V'yisem ke'elokim." That's choshev, man. And that's exactly why, by Kabbalah Satorah, is of course what you're all thinking. That's exactly what the Gemara tells us. And Rav Hartman was speaking about not long ago here in the Bis Medrash. That's exactly what the Malachim came with a taina of my enosh kisiz kirenu. What is a human being that you should even remember him? That you should even pay any attention to a human being? The angels said that the Torah should not be brought down into this world. What is a human being, a mortal being? What's a Moshe doing over here? Now that hit a raw nerve. That was an open wound from paradise, from Gan Eden. And we're still bleeding from that wound. So everybody knows what did Hashem Yisbarach tell Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem Yisbarach did not respond to the taina of the angels. What are you giving a Torah to them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't respond. Hashem Yisbarach told Moshe Rabbeinu, Hachzir lehem tshuva. You answer them. Since the Malachim are questioning the very worth and value of the human race, of this whole project of creation, since the Malachim are questioning that, are bringing that into question, so Hashem Yisbarach says, I'm not the one to answer the question. The answer must come from man himself, each and every one of us. Because the question is still a question. And in each and every one of our lives, we have to answer that question. What's a human being? What's he worth? Aseilonu Elohim. V'yisem ke'elokim. What's a Jew? A Yid is a person who can answer the angel's question. A Yid is a person, no matter what he's going through in life, and how many questions he has himself. But as the Koran says, Sarach Ha'odim Lahamin Ba'atzmai, Da'ayin Shiesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eisik Imai. That a human being, a Yid, has an union with HaKadosh Baruch. And Sarach Lahamin Ba'atzmai. Only a person who believes in that truth of the value, of the worth of a human being, a damaged, fragile, oftentimes mistaken, but a human being. Hachzila and Shuva can answer that question, is the only one that can answer the question. And that's the achrayis of our lives, is to answer that question. Me'ata, we can now understand that Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur lo yahayu Yom Tov in Yisrael ki chamisha asar b'Av ki yamach Kippurim, that the two Yom Tovim that grow out from the chait, the sin of the Meraglim, Tu B'Av, and the sin of the Egel, Yom Kippur, that both of these come from the same Hargosha, the Sinas Hashem, Oysanu, Hoysianu. You could just put in the end of the sentence, whatever the end is in your life. B'Sinas Hashem, Oysanu, Hoysianu, Meyushalayim. He took us out of Yerushalayim and he put us into Bavel. He took me out from Los Angeles and he put me into Paterson, New Jersey. Nothing against Paterson, New Jersey. I was only there once. However you end your sentence, he took me out of the happiness of my parents' home, Ms. Gevaldik, and now he put me into the home with you. However you fill in. But the beginning of the sentence is the same beginning. Or the beginning is B'sinas Hashem Aysanu. Haitzianu. Hivdilanu. Whatever you want to put in. B'sinas Hashem Aysanu, v'nihi beinenu kechagovim, cockroaches in our own eyes. Mimela kichozeku mimenu. It can't possibly be that God, who hates me, would give me the koiches to be able to overcome my enemies. That's why we still have to answer to these Rishonim in the United Nations. I just read that. Baruch Hashem, that he had a Yiddish Einfall, our brother Netanyahu. He actually quoted the Lubavitcher Rebbe in the United Nations, you heard? And he said that you're going to be in a place of lies. And one candle can make a lot of light. If we believed in ourselves, if we didn't have that B'sinas Hashem Ayesanu, if we weren't still guilty of the Teirag Nebo Alechem, we wouldn't be sitting here after all these years with the same Taina, Akichoza Kumimenu. The place is inconquerable. It's not ours. We can't possibly be there. It comes from the same Yeyush, from the same despair. It comes from that same feeling of what my enuski says kerenu ki ish moisha lo yadanu mehoyoloi he ish moisha. Therefore, aseilanu Elohim. The pnimius, of course, is that that's the sherish of every chait of our lives. Every al chait comes from the same place. Where the person simply does not believe in Ze Moshe Ha'ish, Ze Yankel Ha'ish, Sarah Ha'ish, Rachel Ha'ish, Lo Yadanu Mehoyaloi, No Memeila B'Sinas Hashem Aysanu. And once you look at yourself as a grasshopper, Once you look at yourself as a cockroach, and you've been looking at yourself as a cockroach for so many years, it doesn't take too long till you start acting like one, and talking like one, and dressing like one, except the cockroaches are mutznizdik nowadays. Doesn't take long. And when you cut into the core of any person who is acting out in his or her life in a way that is self-destructive, that is ugly, that's corrupt, when you cut to the core of that person, it's always the same tine of the angels. Ma'enus ki siskeranu. Kizeh Moshe ish le'adana mehoyolai. Abisinus Hashem ha'isanu. They'll replace it. He says he doesn't believe in God. They'll replace it. My mother hates me. My father hates me. My grandparents hate me. My dog hates me. My goldfish hates me. Everybody hates me. That's why David HaMelech says in Tehillim in the 50th kapitel, how do you give Musa? How do you give Musa? It became already a word that you're not allowed to say Musa. And that's already a long time ago. I mean, yeshivas, they might still use the word Musa, but even there they have to be careful. They use other things. Say, Yisairis. So David HaMelech says, this is how you give Musa to a Jew. Perek Nun, Pasuk Chof Aleph. Oichichacho ve'ercho le'einecho. Oichichacho means I will give you taichacho, I will rebuke you. In other words, I will try to set your life straight. How? Ve'ercho le'einecho. The simple English translation is I will show you before your eyes. Ve'ercho le'einecho. So the Sfar Makdashim say that what David HaMelech is teaching us is as follows, that if you really want to set a person's life straight, if you really want to help the person, you want to give good Musa, then the Ikir is not to say, you did this terrible thing, you did that terrible thing. You're like this, you're like that, you're horrible, you're this, you're that. That's not going to do it. It really never has been very successful. The reason that doesn't work is because that's not the shirish, that's not why he did the aveira. Because he's like this. Or he did that, and therefore what? So David HaMelech comes along and says, this is the Musa you give a Jew. Oichichacho, I will give you Musa. How? Ve'ercho le'einecho. So the Sfarim say that ve'ercho le'einecho means I will show you before your own eyes. Eze erech yesh lecha. How valuable you are. How much you're worth. How precious you are. How gewaldig you are. Ercho le'einecho. If we failed as parents and as teachers, it's because of this that we missed. The ercho le'einecho. And the main reason that we've missed that is because we ourselves are stuck in a place of bisinus Hashem Eson. So the biggest musa you can give is I'm going to show you who you really are. Which it could be that there's nobody here in this entire Beis Medrash who knows Beetz and Bosses Ayid. I shouldn't say nobody. Maybe a few, a handful. And I'm not including myself among them. Bosses Ayid. What is a Jew? What does it mean? A nefesh, ruach, neshama. What's chai yechida? Not just to have gone through Tanya 1,000 times in Nefesh Chayim. What is a Yid? What is a Jew? Ercho le'einecho. In the Nusach of Slonim, it says in the Pasuk, Musar b'ni al timas. And the Slonim of Slonim means the biggest Musa you could give to a Jew is to say, b'ni, that Hashem says, my kind, you're my child. L'mimela al timas. Why are you dressing that way? Why are you talking that way? Why are you acting that way? Why are you spending your entire life on a stupid machine connected to your ear or staring down at a light in the middle of a chasna or a levaya? You know why? Because you don't know who you are. Therefore, the moments of your life are not valuable to you. My enemies is kerenu v'nam kisiv kedenu. Everybody believes in God. I say, Lord, let me see. If God wants to take me out of my misery, let him take me out. I can't take myself out. So maybe I should go to some box and throw in $100 and confess, and then he sprinkles a little bit of water on me, and I'm forgiven. And then what? Then Isaiah pulls miserable man out of his filth. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. In Mela now we can look at the Rambam differently. The Rambam Hilchos Teshuvah, I think that everybody here is familiar with the Rambam. The Rambam writes about the Baal Teshuvah. Amish, Hoyezeh Somui Lefnei HaMokim. Yesterday, before he did Teshuvah, he was despised, Sanui. Yesterday he was despised before God. Meshukot Maruchot V'Tayeva. Meshukot, how can you translate that? It's bad. Meshukits, that's what we say, shagits. Meshukits, meruchot v'te'eva. Disgusting, loathsome, far from Hashem. V'hayoyim, today, here we are. We're still Shabbosdik, except for the microphone, maybe you drove here. But we're coming straight from Hashem and Shabbos Shuv. V'hayoyim, v'hayoyim v'ohu v'nechmad v'koro v'yedid. Today, oh, beloved and Nechmad, beautiful. Karav, close, Yadid, Hashem is Baruch's friend. So the emes is, of course, that's not true. Amish, that yesterday what? Amish, why is there so new lift me amokim? That yesterday, before you did tshuva, that God hated you. Ahavas oilam, ahavtonu Hashem elokeinu. Yeah, because Baha has an inyan with us. But to hate us, that's not true. The emes is that Hashem is Baruch never ever looked at us that way. The Tanya writes in the Geres HaTshuva, the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein hefrish ben pamachas elef pam. By Hashem is Baruch Hu's ein sof is infinite. There's no difference for the person, there's no difference for Hashem to forgive one time or to forgive 1,000 times. Something in you like with people. I can't believe you did that to me again. The midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein hefrish ben pam achas le'elef pamim ki anachila hi mi midas harachmim u midoysev hakadoshes einan bebchines gevul v'tachlis. Talmud says that the midas harachmim of Hashem and all of Hashem's midas are without gevul, without tachlis, they're infinite. Elu bechines ein soif. Hashem's rachmanis, Hashem's love is infinite. His ability to forgive doesn't depend on it's the fifth time or the 5,000th time. That's not how Hashem's Baruch operates. The problem is that the person himself is convinced while he's doing those things. That what? And even if he starts to think, I got to get out of this, but he looks at himself as shekets. As Moz, as Meruchak, as Ta'eva. He sees himself as something disgusting and something far. And even though you tell him, listen, but it says in Davening every day, Chanunah Marbalis Lech, he said it three times, that Hashem forgives you. And you learn in the Geres HaTshuvah that Hashem's forgiveness is B'lik V'ul B'tachlis. It's Ein Soif, Hashem's Midas HaRachim is Ein Soif. And you learn this piece of Tanya. And you believe it, and you understand, and you're convinced that it's talking about everybody else but you. Because the bottom line is that when a person knows himself that he's been unfaithful, when a person knows in his own heart that he's been unfaithful, and as a result of that unfaithfulness, and even even though the person is being told, the person is told that he's forgiven. I forgive you. There's slicha, there's mechila, and there's kapara. But deep down the person feels disgusting and feels that it, with all of the kindness and all the forgiveness and the beautiful, beautiful attributes of the other person in my life who's forgiving me for all that I've done all these years. But the bottom line is, I can't ever erase that unfaithfulness, that I was unfaithful. And I can't even say with absolute certainty that I'm going to be entirely faithful tomorrow or the day after. So I can't make that disappear. And because of that feeling that I can't make that disappear, I have only one conclusion that I'm able to reach. B'sinas Hashem Ha'isonu. Svarano Shavadnu Avodazor B'Mitzrayim. We were unfaithful in Egypt. Each person in his Egypt and her Egypt. So despite all of the promises of Slicha Mechila Kapara, Slach Lanu, Mechal Kaper Lanu, with all of that, Ve'ish Moishelo Yadanu Mehoyeloi, Me'enosh Kisiz Kerenu, Ve'om Kisiz Kedenu. How do you find that people don't care about their davening, that people talk during davening, that people come late for davening? Why would a person come late to shul? I don't mean it happens once or twice. Habitually, running in, looking for something, like he was surprised that shul started at a different time. It started at the exact same time all your life. And people come running in like bewildered. What happened? You ever see that look? What happened? Was some sort of a surprise? They changed the time of the minyan? You know what happened. B'sinas Hashem Ha'isanu. What are your tefillahs make such a big difference? An afkim in it, you catch up a little bit here, you catch up a little bit there, you chapashmuz here, you chapashmuz there. You look at memela, since there's no tachlis, because anyway, you're what? You're a meshuk, it's a matuv, a manuvel, a mos. So it's an afkim in it. A person like yourself to look at that website, to look at that Indian on the street, to have these thoughts. All of that you can do while you're officially Orthodox also nowadays. What's an afkim in it? At the core of your being, there's a lack of belief in man. We've lost our faith in what? In who we are in God's eyes. So since we're grasshoppers, we're rodents and cockroaches in our own eyes, so we act like that. And we're convinced that that's how God sees us. Especially b'shas ma'aseh. You already did this aveira, you already did that aveira. I can't make this go away. The stain of my sins remain. Yeah, but it says in Tanya, you even looked a little bit at the new Arisa Tshuva that came out. And it says over there that God loves you no matter what. Oh, yeah. That's nice for a kumzis, for a fabrengen or something. But that's not talking about me. Because you don't know what I've done in my life. I'm a big mechadish. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Iv HaKadosh Min Shmaya Kanachis. Not that he was the first one, but the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh made this into the shita of his life. And he injected this into the Chavaya Kaddish, into the Talmidim. That the Ikka Chinuch by Ikvis of the Mashiach is what? Oichichacha ve'e'echa le'einecha. Is to come over to a Jew and to say, Rabbi Yid, I want you to know who you are. Not to talk to him about why you did this and how come you did that. You know, you're such a mouse, you're a meshukit, you're a manuvel. The ikka avaydeh by ikvis of the Mashiach, the fight against the poison of the snake, that would reappear in the new Gilgul of Chet HaEgel, and then would surface again a short time later with the Chet HaMeraglim. And then you and I, it's the story of our lives. The way to put an end, finally, once and for all, to the murmuring that's going on in our tents. V'teirognu bo'aleichem. The way to put an end to this ridiculous lie of b'sinas Hashem aysanu, of kichazaku mimenu. We can't do it. We can't do it. I can't get up. I can't go to slichas. I can't. So they make slichas. They make slichas at night. For people, I'm not talking about, God forbid, people who are older, they're sick. I'm talking about these places that are filled with bachrim. I can't. What do you mean? Your ancestors got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they worked like horses. They weren't looking at pictures all day on their machine. You can't manage. No. Chazaku mimenu. You never heard of the Yetzirah? What's the matter? You're not Maritz? It's the Yetzirah. Yetzirah, that's for everything. Yetzirah. So Dovid HaMelech says, Eichichach ve'ercha le'einech. I'm going to show you who you are. And I'm going to show you that the kesher that you have with Hashem is Baruch is a kesher that's called Etzem Me'atzamai. Etzem Me'atzamai, that means Odom Mechavah. You know what means Etzem Me'atzamai? Mr. Swarm tells us is our in you with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we're not allowed to talk about in such a way at this time, certainly what that means that a Jew has in him. Etzem Me'atzamai, Atzmus Ein Saif Baruch Hu, the Infinite One Himself. And that a Jew is a Shtikilokus is Etzem Me'atzamai. And if we understand that, if we believe that, it would mean to each and every one of us that no matter what I've done, and no matter how many crazy things have gone on in my life, and no matter how long I've been apart from Him, and no matter how much tefillin I missed and davening I missed, no matter how many Shabbos I missed, no matter how many things I did against Hashem's work, I did this of it or that of it, no matter what. In one moment of truth, like Rabbi Elazar ben Dedaya in the Gemara of Elazar, in one moment of clarity, a person is able to yell back at the Malachim. Is able to have an answer for the Malach. And he's able to say, Rav Malach, you don't understand the godless of a neshama. And you don't understand that no matter what I've done in my life, I've done things that I'm shukotsim, that I'm a tu'ovim, that I'm a usim. I've done disgusting things in my life. But I'm not a meshukas. I'm not a metuv. I'm not a mo'us in Hashem's eyes. And no matter what mistakes that a person's made in his life, it can never, ever, in any way change that metzias of Ahavas Olam Ahavtonu Hashem Elokeinu. Because that's not something which is negotiable. It's not something which can be changed. And you see, you have with two people that they can have a fight that's going on for years, mamish for years, and it has in a thousand different things that each one has. Tainus and tvias, lists and long lists of all kinds of tainus against the other person. And they're standing there, each one with the paper, and they're reading off, and you did this to me, you did this to me, you said this to me, you spoke that one about me. And you have all these tainus, all these tvias, a long list. Mamish, a long list. And then finally, if it happens, once one puts down the paper and says, oh, forget it, you know what? I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I love you, I can't live without you. Isn't it amazing? So the guy doesn't say, what are you, whoa. What about item number 42? What about number 18? What about 15? That's an amazing thing. What happens? The other one throws the paper down. And they throw each other into, they go into each other's arms. They're people, brothers and sisters, that are not talking to each other for 40, 50, 60 years. Tainus and trias, husbands and wives, parents and children. Because what happens? What happens when the person says to Isi or Visi Pashati, whatever the person says to Visi Pashati, I did this, I did that wrong, I'm sorry, it was a mistake. But at that second, what happens in one second is the Ahava, which is the Etzim Atzonai, that essential love, that's the essence, that binds those two souls together. In one second of truth, the whole Sheker falls apart. The whole Sheker falls apart. And it becomes so clear, and it's so obvious, that even though Hitake did those things to me, and I did those things to him, and this bad stuff went on for a long time, but now it looks so silly. We were embarrassed about those pages. You throw them into the fire. You don't want to look at those papers. And you can't separate from that person. You can, till 120, you don't want to be away from that person. Because all of those years, the etzem ha'atzomai didn't change. The atzmas didn't change. The essence didn't change. Listen to what Rabbi Nachman said in Chaim Aran. It's brought down in Tochtun Gimel. Rabbi Nachman says, K'moy sha'atim roi moisi. Listen to this. K'moy sha'atim roi moisi, v'tzoni loyma, sh'bavadei atem machzikim oisi l'tzadigom. He said to the Chassidim, you're looking at me now, he said to the Chassidim, you're looking at me. And certainly you're machzikim oisi l'tzadigom. You certainly hold me to be a complete tzaddik. Afa pichin, Rabbi Nachman says, im ha'yisi oiver chasu shalom aver gedele b'yaisa. Rabbi Nachman said that if I would chasu shalom go right now and do some horrible aver, afa pichin lo hoisa ha'aver mashleches oisi klal. The aver would not set me off course, it would not drive me away at all. Rakayisi acha ha'aveira ish kosher k'may kaidem. I would, after the aveira, become the same tzaddik gomer that I was before the aveira. Rakachaka ha'isi oisa tshuva. With that additional component of tshuva, I would have to do tshuva. You have to fix, you have to repair. That's of course. You have to fix the chait, you have to fix the chait, you have to fix whatever the chait is. So Ibn Achman said, you look at me as a tzaddik gomer, and I will go right now and do the most disgusting thing. The aveira would not turn me over. The aveira would not transform me into a weak nebuch of a person who believes in the lie of Besinus Hashem Isanu. That I am helpless and I need some God to take me out, to pull me out of this pit. But Rabbi Nachman said, I'd be an ish kosher k'may koidem, the same way that I was before the aveir. Only rakachakach isa is a tshuva. And now let's end. We can understand it's unbelievable. How Yom Kippur is the day that we receive the Luchas Shnias, that we receive the second set of Luchas on Yom Kippur. So everybody knows the Beis HaLevi in the 18th Drosha. The Beis HaLevi says, we don't have time, I was going to, but there's no time now. The Beis HaLevi tells us that in the Luchas Shnias, there was Mishadish, we spoke about that also, that the Luchas Shnias, the Hashem's Baruch, revealed to us the inyan of Torah Shabbat Peh. There was a eschadshus of that nekuda of Torah Shabbat Peh in the second luchais. The first luchais is Torah Shabbat. The second luchais is a bechin, is an aspect already. There is the world of Torah Shabbat Peh begins to unfold in the second luchais. Now you understand. Because Torah Shabbat Peh, Teresh Baal Peh is man's, is Klai Yisrael's answer to the Malach. The Malach says, Ma enus ki siskerenu. What is a human being that God should even think of him? Ki moisha ish loydana mehayala. And what's Teresh Baal Peh? Teresh Baal Peh, the Baruch Shem, says about us, Nitzchuni bonai nitzchuni, that my children have defeated me, that when we say a svar in Teresh Baal Peh, that Kivyochel Hashem Himself is maskim, and He gives in to our chiddush and teresh baal peh, nitzchuni bonai nitzchuni. That is the tikkun of the mistake of what zeh moisha ish lo yadanu mehayolai. That's the opposite of living a life of ve'isim kelokim. What's teresh baal peh? Teresh baal peh says, nah, ve'isim kelokim. That's teresh b'chsav. That God gives you teresh b'chsav. What's teresh baal peh? Not ve'isim kelokim. But ve'isim anoshim ksheirim. Be kosher good Jews who learn Torah and keep mitzvahs. You don't need any of our seilon or l'kim ha'shayelchu l'faneinu. So our answer, our response to the question of the Malach, ma'enus kisiz kerenu, what is a human being? All of Teresh Shmuel Peh, and our Asik in Teresh Shmuel Peh, the second Luchas, that was Yom Kippur. That was our tshuva. Tshuva meaning our return to Hashem and our response to the angels. The response to the angels was, there's no such thing v'nihi be'einenu k'chagovim. We're not grasshoppers in our eyes. You know who we are in our eyes? Reb Moshe Feinstein. The Rambam. Ksam Sofer. Vilna Gaon. Baal Shem Tov. Ben Ish Chai. These are who we are in our eyes. Not chagovim. That koyach comes to us through Torah Shabbat Peh. And that's why Hashem Yisbarach said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you answer them. That's the meaning of Torah Shabbat Peh. That's the second Luchais. And Vayoyma Hashem Solachti Kidvarecha. Kidvarecha means that with your efforts, with your words, with your koiches, the Mimelo Ha'yom Toivim Yisrael Ketuba of Uriyam Kippurim. Even the use of the words L'Hoyom Toivim, what's a Yontiv? A Yontiv is the Hezgalus of the Koyach of Klai Yisrael. And we spoke about this many, many times, Yisrael, the Kachin was Manim. That the whole Luach, the whole Koyach to be Mechadish, what's the Kiddush HaChadish in the time of the month, and to make a Yontiv comes what from that world of Teresh Baal Peh, of Nitzchuni Bonai Nitzchuni. Therefore, on Yom Kippur, we make a very big Asik of the Koyin Gobel coming out from the Kodesh Kedoshim. Maneh da hoyamara koyin, we're going to say in a few days. There's the Gemara in Yuman, Samach Chesem with days. Maneh da hoyamara koyin. So we had a few weeks ago, our Matal Zilbazog, because I was here. And he explained the inyan of Maneh da hoyamara koyin. What does it mean, how beautiful? What does it mean, how beautiful? What's the whole inyan? There was such a celebration. There was such an asik when the koyin gold came out from the Kodesh Kedoshim. Because the Kohen Gadol was saying, I went in only because I'm a representative of Klal Yisrael. That's why I went in. I'm you. And when we looked at the Kohen Gadol and he came out from the Kodesh, we looked at him and the Kohen Gadol was saying, you didn't look at me. Look at me because you can be this, you can become this kind of person. Every Jew can become a person of Mara Kohen. Not a Kohen, but to have that, come to that Nakuda within himself, to bring out within himself that Mara Koin that's hidden inside each and every one of us. Therefore, there was a very big Asik that was made, Mara Koin, my Neda, how beautiful, how amazing, my Neda, how Mara Koin. This wasn't a show. This wasn't to make a spectacle of the Koin. It's saying, the Malachim said, my Yelayt Isha Beinenu. What's a human being doing over here with us? That's what the angels were saying. So the Kohen Gadol came out from the Kodesh on Yom Kippur and he said, Yidden, it's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the Hezgalus of the deepest part of who you are. Look at me, this is who we are. This is what we can be. This is what Hashem has brought, gave us the Koyches to become. Stop this business of B'Sinus Hashem O'Sonim and Hivei Neim V'Chagovim V'Chein Hayinu V'Hineim. Stop all of this stuff. Me'enish Kisizkerenu. The Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur is the answer to the Malach's Taina. Me'enish Kisizkerenu. Therefore, the Ikra Avayda now, the Ikra Avayda Erev Yom Kippur, is that we have to be very, very careful. We have to be very, very careful not to fall into the Chet Egel, not to fall into the Chet of the Meraglim. And the Ikra is to be careful to be Mishrachik from this Hargosha of Besinus Hashem Oisonu coming into Yom Tiv. To be far away from that Hargosha, that feeling of Besinus Hashem Oisonu. In the Machzer, actually we say it twice, Shachris Yom Kippur and Musaf Yom Kippur right before Nisan HaToyken. You take a look in the Machzer. So I'll read to you just in the English, but you're familiar with it. Let me read a little bit from the English. The 2 minutes will be finished in 5 minutes. So in each, first there's a stanza that talks about the angels. And then it talks about us. There's some fancy words here. I wouldn't talk like this, but all right. though your dread is upon the faithful angels who are mightily powerful, who are intermingled with ice, who are unique in their fierceness, and your awe is upon them. That's the angels. Vavisa tehila, yet you desire praise. Now listen. From clods of earth who dwell in a valley, whose accomplishment is meager, whose works are poor. And this is your praise. Goes on. Hashem Asecha, though your dread is among the multitude of angels, in the movement of their camps, in the assembly of thousands, in the discussion of myriads, and your awe is upon them. Yet, you desire your praise, avisa tehila. From who? From man whose glowing countenance changes, whose splendor becomes extinguished, who is of limited intelligence, who contemplates wickedness, and this is your praise. I'll go on with some of the stuff of our stuff. After each time, angels, give out, what's going on over there? And then, yet you desire your praise from those stained by sin, whose stain is embedded, who are ensnarled in a trap, whose livelihood is bitter as gall. And yet you desire your praise. This is your praise. From those of putrid deeds. Don't raise your hands for this. Those who are sated with rage. Those who are devoid of truth. Who are born by God from the womb. And this is your praise. From those who are called nothings. Who call to you with duplicity. Who are far from the truth. Who are devoid of righteousness. This is your praise. That you desire praise from flesh and blood, from vanity and nothingness, from withering grass, from a passing shadow, from a fading blossom, from those whose soul becomes terminated, whose spirit floats off, whose life flies away, whose soul flits away, whose unique soul is removed, who are heard in court, who die in judgment, who live through mercy, who give glory to you, O life giver of the world, who give glory to you. The angels don't do that. With all of this stuff, that we give pe'er, we are the ones who give glory to the chay olamim, to the one who lives forever, who is the life of all worlds. Davka the Yiloidisha. Davka, the angels said, there's a human being. So everybody knows what Moshe Rabbeinu answered back. Klum, were you slaves in Mitzrayim? If we would translate that into our times, to a Malach, you have to go onto the train. You know what it's like to live in this world. You have the kind of people around you. Did you come into the Tashin Ayin Basin, to New York, or wherever it is? What's a human being doing over here in Shemayim? Much, much higher than any Malach. So what's the Soif Davar? I want to share with you a story that I told in Shul a few months ago. It's in the Rishimas Dvarim from Chabad. It's a Maisa with Alter Rebbe. I know I read this over so many times. And I said it over to the Chevra on the Shabbos, but I'm living with it the whole time. So I felt that I would be able to repeat it. I'm sorry some of the Chevra from Shul heard this. But a Maisa becomes better every time. You know that the Baal HaTanya is Chusik Eleinu. The Baal HaTanya was running away from the Klipa of Napoleon. The Radifa, the Baal HaTanya had tremendous influence. And the Chassidim were very, very effective because of the connections that we have from one place to the other with Yidden in overcoming and defeating that klipa of Napoleon. So the Alter Rebbe was public enemy number one. And there was a redifa to kill him. And he was schlepping, the Alter Rebbe was schlepping with his mishpacha and others, some close chassidim. There were 60 wagons. 60 wagons were traveling. This whole caravan, the Baal HaTanya. All of the expenses were paid by one Jew for this entire trip, which must have been an enormous amount of money in those days. All of it was paid by one Jew by the name of Reb Yitzchak Zelver. And he brought with him a box that was filled with gold and silver coins to take care of everything along the way. So they came to a certain town, and everybody found a place to stay. And this Reb Yitzchak was staying with his wife in some kind of a hotel, whatever it was.
And they were staying up on top, a third or fourth floor. They were staying on a balcony. They were sitting out on the balcony. And they got into an argument. The argument was that she was very upset. She couldn't believe that he accepted upon himself to pay for all of this. It's crazy how much it's costing. And they're going to use up all of their money. And she was very, very angry. And she apparently she had been discussing this with him throughout the trip. And this was going on. When they finally got to this town, they're standing up there and they're having this thing. She starts to give it to him again, Shabarach, about all the money. We're not going to have any money. How can you do this? And what's this all for? We have to pay for all the cousins and the this and that. And it's ridiculous. We're not paying for all of this and why are you doing it? So they got into a pretty heated argument, and he was angry, and he was going and he moved towards her, and she backed up a little bit. Akitsa, she fell off the balcony. She fell off the balcony and was high up, and he went running downstairs if you saw it, and she's lying there, Amish, for dead on the ground, and people are coming screaming. It's a whole to do, and of course, where they're going to find there's no Hatzalah over there. So anyway, if you have the Balatanya, why would you go to Hatzalah? So he ran to the Balatanya. He couldn't catch himself. He said that we had a thing, a fight, and my wife fell down, and I think she's dead. I don't know what to do. So the Balatanya was not in his pole from the whole thing. I don't know if he knew the woman. I don't know, but he wasn't in his pole from this, and he took his stick. And he walked over there, and she's lying. People are standing around. She's lying there on the ground. The Baal Tanya leaned over to her and said to her, "Machzik mitnarish, stop being a fool." She said, "Husbands and wives, sometimes they say harsh words to each other. They get into a fight. Get up." He said, "You should get up and stay away from Gein Stuberheim. Stand up and go home. What are you lying here like that?" And she got up, she gave us a little bit of thing, and she went home. That was it. You know why I think about that so much? Not because of the maifis. Long ago I stopped with being impressed with the maifisim. It's not the maifis. Isn't it the story of our lives, Rabbi Isai? You know, if we're talking sedition ones amongst friends. That whatever happened between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we end up on the floor, something happened in our lives. Machzit Naish, stop acting like a fool. Sometimes you have, that's all of tshuva is summed up by this story. All of what it means to be a Jew is summed up by this story. We're going to spend the rest of our lives on the floor like that. Feeling like we have no cheshik for anything, for davening, for learning, for mitzvahs, that we don't have the kaychas to overcome any of this, to be in any of our nisyonis, to be strong. So we have to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaning over and saying in our ears, stop acting like this. Stop acting like a fool. Sometimes there's an inyan between people who love each other. Sometimes there's an inyan like that, and there are mistakes that are made. Stand up and go home. Because at the end of the day, it says in the Pasuk, Im shachachnu shem Elokeinu, v'nifreis kapeinu le'elzar, that if at times in our lives we have forgotten Hashem, and we've worshipped other things, Halo Elokim yachakar zayis, Hashem, you know the truth. Ki hi yodea talume slave, only Hashem knows the secret in our heart. Ki alecha hayragnu kol hayoyim. Nechshavnu kitzayin tivcha. Because for you, who we've convinced ourselves that you hate us, for your sake, hayragnu kol hayoyim, we've died a million deaths, more than 6 million deaths, we've died for your sake. That's what we really believe in. So Hashem Yisroel should help that this year should be a year of standing up on our feet, of shaking our fists at the malachim inside of our heads that are telling us that it's not shayach, the Meraglim, an eagle. Because the moment that that happens, the moment we believe that each and every one of us has that in us, that koyach of kelecha haragnu kol hayoy mamash, then we'll be able to make it a year that's completely different than anything that's ever been. So Hashem's Bo should help that you should all be nechtavim in the sifrim sal tzaddikim, that it should be a gemach sim atayv, it should be shnas gulu of Yeshua, it should be a shnas bias Mashiach, that each and every one of us should be zeichet to be ready, to be prepared, to greet the Malkim Mashiach, the Glashem, v'amitis, v'hevim, v'amen, v'amen.